The word door is found some 250 times in the Bible. It's interesting that if you ever want to do a word study, it's a great word to look at throughout God's Word. It's interesting how different ways that this word is used in Scripture. For instance, it's used literally of a literal door. Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your closet or into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. It's used literally. But it's also used throughout Scripture in various metaphorical or figurative ways. In Acts 14:27, we read of a door of faith. A door of faith by the acceptance of the gospel of grace, there's a door of faith that is open. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul speaks of a door that was open to him in Ephesus, a door of effectual ministry. In Matthew 25:10, we read of a door to the kingdom of God. Also in Revelation 3:20, many of you know this verse, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and fellowship with him and he with me." Also used in James 5:9, speaking of the nearness of the Lord's coming. Do you know Jesus is coming? He is coming. You know what? He's right at the door. And if he's right at the door in the first century, he's right at the door in the 21st century. He's coming. And in the book of the Revelation, you remember John on that island of Patmos. And in chapter 4, he says that he looked up and there was a door that was opened in heaven. And he saw that door. And actually, there's only an opening in heaven two times in the book of Revelation. Once when John went up, and then in chapter 19 when Jesus comes back down. Very interesting. Well, in our text this morning, we read of a very interesting use of the word door. So take your Bibles and open them up to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, we have four references to this word door in verses 1 through 10. And we have one of the I am statements of Jesus Christ. You know there are actually seven I am statements in the book of John. And John's the only one that gives these I am statements. You remember back in chapter 8 when Pastor Tyree shared with us in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am, I am." And that was a reference back to Exodus 3:14 when Moses was being sent back to Egypt and he said, "God, what if they ask me, what your name? What's your name?" And he said, "You go tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am." And every time, listen, every time Jesus uses one of these I am statements, it's pointing to his deity, his divinity. But in seven of these statements, he adds a picture or a metaphor or a figure that not only emphasizes his deity, but it emphasizes how he relates to humanity, how he relates to us. And in this chapter, we find one of those I am, well, we find actually two in the chapter, but in the verses we're looking at, verses 1 through 10, we find one of these I am statements. So follow along with me as I read verses 1 through 10 of chapter 10. "Truly, truly, Or some of your translations, verily, verily. Amen, amen. This is a way to emphasize. I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech, or some of yours says parable, but it's figure of speech or illustration. Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, amen. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life. And might have it abundantly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, what a beautiful portion of your word. What a wonderful, wonderful portion this is. And it reveals you, Lord Jesus. And we pray today, Lord, at this place, for all those that are hearing of this message. Lord, let us hear your voice. Let us hear you, Lord. Let us understand who you are and your ministry to us. And Lord, I pray that we would fall deeper in love with you. Would you touch our hearts today, Lord? Help us to keep attention to your word and help us to hear. And then, Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to obey what we hear today. And Lord, for all that you do, and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have full reign in this place today and all that hear. And we believe in the power of the Word of God because it's living and active. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, Holy Spirit, let loose the word today and change our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. 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 Again, here in verses 7 and 9, Jesus gives us this I am statement. He says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Now, this picture, this image has great truths, not only back then, but for us today. But to understand this, we've got to understand a little bit of the cultural context. You see, back in the first century, back in Palestine, the first century, in Jesus' day, they lived in an agricultural or an agrarian society. They were familiar with farming and shepherding. And in this text, we read a lot about sheep, shepherds, and sheepfolds. Now, Jesus, when he spoke this, they understood exactly, or they should have understood exactly what he said. Some of them didn't understand, but they should have, because they understood that society. So we've got to get some background here. Shepherding in the first century, very common occupation. that day. I'm told when we went to the Holy Lands, I remember on our bus, especially when we went toward Bethlehem, the bus had to stop several times because shepherds were leading their flocks, either of sheep or goats, across the road. And Bedouins today and Arabs today still have flocks in the Holy Land, and especially around Bethlehem. Well, the shepherds, every night, when night was approaching, they would bring their sheep and get their sheep into a safe place. If they were out in the wilderness or out in the land, they would try to find a shallow cave where they would put their sheep, and they would build a partial fence around the opening of the cave and put on top of that fence thorns. And they did that to protect their sheep. If there was another kind, and we'll talk about this a little later, of sheepfold, if they brought, they would have communal sheepfolds in the villages. And if they brought their sheep into the village, they would bring, all the shepherds would bring their sheep to the village sheep pen or sheepfold, and they would lead their sheep into that sheepfold. And they would pay a porter or a gatekeeper to watch their sheep at night. And then they would go to their homes and sleep. Then in the morning, they'd come and call their sheep out and take their sheep out. But these are things we need to understand as we look at this passage. Now, they did that. Why did they have these sheepfolds? Well, they had them because there were enemies, there were predators that would come after the sheep, and there were thieves. The common practice of the day were for thieves to come, climb up over the sheep, over the wall of the sheepfold, kill as many sheep as they could, and as they killed a sheep, they would throw it up over the wall to their accomplices on the other side, and they'd do that until they were detected. Then they would jump over and try to escape. That's all the background to this passage where Jesus says, I am the door to the sheepfold, to the sheep. Now, what does that mean? What does that entail? What is Jesus saying here? I want to share with you four things today, four implications of those words, I am the door of the sheep. First of all, number one, Jesus is the door of salvation and personal relationship. Amen? He is the door of salvation and personal relationship. First of all, he's the door of salvation. Look at verse 9. He says, if anyone enters through me, he will be what? Saved. He will be saved. Now, one function of a door is to provide access. When a door is open, it provides an access way. Everyone here this morning, I'm going to tell you one thing about you. All of you right here that are in this congregation this morning, you came in through a door. If you came in through a window, you're a thief and a robber. You came through a door. It gave you access into this place. And that's what a door does. Only through Jesus do we have access to God and salvation. It's only through Him that we have access. Put this verse down, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. It's through Christ. He's the entryway to God, to salvation. It says that same thing over in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, through Him, Through His blood and through the Spirit, we have access to the Father. He is the door of salvation. Only through Jesus can a person be saved. You've heard it here. It's only through Jesus that a person can be saved. Now, He brings this out in two different ways. First of all, He says, I am the door. I am. And that is in the original, ego, eimi. And what that means is, I myself am. I and no other. I exclusively am the door to the sheep. I am. There's no other. But He says, I am what? The door. The door. Not a door. There's not a choice here. Here's door one. Here's door two. Here's door three. Some of you old people, remember what was it? Was it, or was it, let's make a deal? Which door do you want? Do you want door one, door two, or door? There's no choice here. Yeah, well, there is a choice. There's one door, and that's Jesus. He is the only door to salvation. Some would say, well, wait a second. Now, come on. You Christians have your way, Jesus. And we Buddhists have our way, Buddha. Or we Hindus have our way, Krishna. Or we Muslims have our way, Muhammad. Or we Jews have our way, the law, Moses. And you know what the Bible says? Wrong. There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the only way to salvation. You believe that? You Christians are narrow. You Christians, can't you be more tolerant? I mean, come on. You Christians have Jesus in your way, and we Buddhists, we have the Eightfold Path. And us Hindus, we have our way, meditation and yoga. And us Muslims, we have our way, the five-step Islam. And us Jews, we have our way, we keep the law. Can't you be more tolerant? That's right, no. Why can't we be more tolerant? If we were to say there's other ways, what would we be calling Jesus? A liar. And Jesus said, I am the way to God. I am the way. I am the door. The only door. The exclusive door to God. Jesus. And if you're going to get saved, you got to enter through Jesus Christ. If someone tries to get in the fold any other way, you know, like the Pharisees were preaching back in Jesus' day. By the way, he said this to who? Remember back in chapter 9? Who's he talking to? The Pharisees. They said, we're not blind. We see. And that's when Jesus says this. And they said, oh, you got to go through Moses to get in. And Jesus said, you go any other way, you're a thief and a robber. You're illegitimate. Because there's only one way to get saved, and that's through me, through Jesus Christ. He is the door to salvation, but he's also, and it's saying the same thing, but he is the door to personal relationship. Did you hear that when I read that? I know my sheep. I call them by what? By their name. That's personal relationship, folks. We're going to hear more about that, Lord willing, next week. In fact, I speak to them and they what? They hear my voice. They hear my voice. That's personal relationship. Now, let me just say this. Sheep are not the sharpest animals. Let me say it another way. They're dumb. They are dumb. And you know what God calls us? What'd you read, Steve, in Psalm 100? Where are you? What'd you read? Yeah, there you are. What'd you read? We're the what of His pasture? The sheep of His pasture. That's not a compliment, folks. More on that next week. More on that next week. That's not a compliment. Sheep are dumb. They are dumb. In fact, if they're walking in a straight line and one goes over the cliff, guess what? They just go. They walk in a straight line. They don't know how to make a U-turn. That's as bad as your joke, Jeremy. That's as bad. That's a bad joke. Bad. They don't even know how to. They're dumb. But you know what a sheep knows? He knows the voice of the shepherd. He knows the voice of the shepherd. He knows the voice of the shepherd. You see, when the shepherd calls, he recognizes that voice. You see, every morning, the shepherd would come to the sheepfold. And these sheepfolds in the villages, they had all the shepherds would put their sheep into one sheepfold. And the shepherd would come, and he comes to the gate, to the door, and he calls his sheep. And guess what? This is amazing, folks. This is true. His sheep know his voice. And his sheep, and only his sheep, come out with the shepherd. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. They know the voice of the shepherd. How well do you know the voice of the shepherd? Do you know his voice? How can we know his voice? How do we know Jesus is speaking? Maybe it's my flesh. Maybe it's I'm hearing the voice of the world. Maybe it's the world. Maybe it's the enemy speaking. How do I know it's Jesus speaking? How can you tell his voice? You know, listen, when I come home at night, I walk in the door and I say, hi. And Linda doesn't say, who is that? Who's coming in here? Who's entering? Or I don't come home and say, hi, it's Pastor Les, I'm home. I don't have to say that. Because why don't I have to say that? Because she knows my voice. How does she know my voice? Well, we've kind of hung out for like 55 years together. And she knows my voice. And she recognizes my voice. Because we've hung out together. We spent time together. Let me give you another illustration of that. And this is so cool. When Linda and I were at Penn State University, Penn State was founded as an agrarian school. Did you know that? They were a farmer school. Now, back when we were there, they weren't. We weren't back that far. But they still had barns. They still had animals. They still had, like we have the Summit County Fair, and you take your animals, and you can enter your animals and get judged and everything. They still had that. And guess who adopted a sheep? Linda. Linda and her, I don't know if it was somebody from Campus Crusade for Christ, her and her girlfriend adopted a sheep and raised this sheep and groomed this sheep. And they even gave her a name, Candida. Candida. And so we went out to the barns. And there's this big sheep pen. And Linda's there and she said, oh, there's Candida. And I'm looking over and there's all these sheep. They looked like dumb sheep to me. I couldn't tell the difference. But she knew her sheep. And then we went in, and I went over and I said, Candida, how you doing? She didn't even pay attention to me. She didn't even lift up her head. It's kind of like when I speak and some of you, no. I mean, she's just a dumb sheep. But when Linda and her girlfriend went in, Candida, she lifted, she knew her voice. She knew the voice. Why did she know? Why didn't she respond to my voice? Because I was a stranger. She didn't know my voice because I hadn't spent time with her. See? By the way, they won a prize. They had a show. Did you win the blue ribbon? The blue ribbon for raising Candida. She was a dumb sheep. But she knew their voice. Do you know why some Christians don't hear the voice of God? Don't hear the voice of Jesus? Because they don't spend time with him. You aren't hearing his voice? They don't spend time in the word and in prayer. Because see, the more you, listen, the more you hang out with him, the more you'll hear his voice. Now be careful. Because there's a lot of other voices, right? And my flesh can be pretty loud sometimes. Make sure that voice always lines up with his word. Because when he speaks in line with his word. But you see, he's the door to salvation and personal relationship. Secondly, Jesus is the door to sanctification and provision. Do you see the last part in verse 9? Look at verse 9 again. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And when I say Jesus is the door of sanctification and provision, I put sanctification in there because it's alliterate. It's in line with all the other points. But it means growth. He's the door of growth and provision. You see, folks, sheep do not always stay in the sheepfold. They don't always stay in the pen. You know, if they always stayed in the pen, what would happen? They would die. They would die. They would starve. Sheep must follow the shepherd and go out to feed. Sheep are needy creatures. Again, more on this next week. We're going to really hit this next week. But only when they follow the shepherd and go out through the door do they find pasture and their needs are met. And only as we go through and follow Jesus will our needs be met. We're needy people. And only, listen, only Jesus can meet your deepest needs. Only Jesus. You know, as I look out right now, I'm looking out and I see a bunch of needy people. The shepherd Jesus is faithful to provide for the needs of his sheep. Can you say amen to that? I hope you can. He is faithful. Now, I didn't say he's faithful to provide for our greeds, but for our needs. And as I look out, and as I look in, I see sheep. And you know what I see? There are people here with physical needs. I know. I prayed with one this morning that has a physical need for healing. Prayed for that person several weeks ago, and they were healed of an affliction. But there are people here with medical problems. There are people here with physical needs, for need for healing, need for strength. You're tired. You need grace sufficient. There's people here that have needs for jobs. And been praying for one, and I think he started work last week. Praise God. He's here, shaking yes. There's people with physical needs, financial needs. But there are people here today with emotional needs. There's needs for, because they've been hurt, maybe abused. Some are struggling to forgive. In fact, again, I met with somebody and we prayed because they said, actually, I met with three people in the last 2 weeks that said, Pastor, I'm struggling to forgive. And I forgive, and then the next morning, those same feelings come up, and I have to forgive again. Healing from bitterness. Some are struggling with anxiety. Some are afraid. Some are depressed. We're sheep. Sheep have needs. And there's those here with spiritual needs. Some may be here, you've never gone through the door. You've never been saved. You need to go through Jesus today and believe he died for your sins and rose from the dead. But there's others here. You're not where you're supposed to be with Jesus. You know, sheep are, what is it? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. There's some sheep that aren't where they're supposed to be. There's others that spiritual need. I need your guidance, God. Needy sheep. That's who we are. And I'm thankful we're here this morning, aren't you? Jesus is the door of sanctification and provision. We read, and Steve had it, and I put it in here, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He maketh me to lie down in. He leadeth me beside the. He restoreth my soul. You see, Jesus is the door. He's the shepherd. We're going to see that next week. But he's the door. We've got to go through him. We have a need. We go through Jesus. And I'm going to guarantee you, listen. We follow him. He will meet your need. He will meet your need. You see, whatever your need is, the shepherd, Jesus, as we follow him, listen, we follow him into the fold, but we follow him out. And he meets our needs. Aren't you glad we have a shepherd like that? That he cares for us? He is the door of sanctification and provision. Number three, Jesus is the door of safety and protection. And again, there are two functions of a door, right? It admits and it excludes. It admits and excludes. It can shut in all who are welcome, and it can shut out those whose company is not desired. In Matthew 25, you remember the parable of the 10 virgins? The 5 virgins came to the wedding feast and they were shut in. That was the 5 wise virgins. But the 5 foolish virgins, once the door was shut, what? They were shut out. I think of the Noah's Ark. You know, Noah's Ark. By the way, Noah's Ark was not a 4-door model or even a 2-door model. It was 1 door. And once the door was shut, Noah and his family were safe. It shut them in, but it shut an unbelieving world out. A door can shut in, it can shut out. There are those that God wants to shut out to protect his sheep. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief? Satan. Satan is the thief. It doesn't say thieves come. It says the thief. You remember when Pastor Tyree preached back in chapter 8. You remember what we learned about Satan? He's a murderer from the beginning. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, a lot of times he'll do that through false prophets, false shepherds, false teachers. And I'll tell you what, they're abundant online today. They're abundant, and they're preaching stuff that will kill. It'll kill. It'll steal. They're not out to bless the sheep at all. And these false shepherds, false teachers, behind them is the thief, Satan. And remember, he's speaking this to who? To the Pharisees. He's speaking this to the Pharisees. And note it says here, the thief comes. And that's present tense. That means he keeps coming. He keeps coming. He signifies continually coming with a purpose to kill, steal, and destroy. 1 Peter 5:8, it says that be sober, be on the alert. Your adversary, you've got an adversary. The devil roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith. He's looking for someone to devour. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Do you know what? Do you know Satan would love to kill you? You realize that? He'd love, if you're a non-believer, if you haven't come to Christ yet, he'd love to kill you and damn your soul to hell. Misery loves company. And that's what he'd love to do. If you're a Christian, he'd love to kill you. Because once you're dead, you can't serve Christ down here. But he would like to take you out. Not on a date. He'd like to take you out and destroy your life. We've got a real enemy. He would like to kill you. He would like to steal away your intimacy with God. He'd like to steal your salvation. He'd like to. He'd like to destroy. Listen to me. Young people, he'd like to destroy your family. He would love to destroy your family. Destroy your marriage. He would like to destroy you. And I'll tell you another thing. He'd love to destroy this church. He would. He would love to destroy this church where the Word of God is preached. But he can't. He can't. Listen, he wants to kill you? Okay, Satan. You, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom's forever. Kill me? I'm more alive than ever. You can't take my life. I'd like to steal my salvation. Can't do it. He can't do it. Because I've got a Savior who keeps me. And He keeps us. I think we sang about that today too. That he keeps us. He keeps us. And He'd like to destroy the church. Now He destroys churches. Listen. He does destroy some churches. If those churches get their eyes off the Savior, I'll tell you what, Satan can extinguish some churches, but he'll never destroy the church. Because Christ said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Aren't you glad? I'll tell you what, physically, I'm so glad that I have Jesus. Because He is my safety. There are times I cling close to dying. I don't know, I know some of you have told me there are times that you could have lost your life. I'm thankful that the Lord protected me. But even if the Lord, and there's some, you know, Romans says, it says that we are like sheep to the slaughter. But even if we do die, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He can't ultimately hurt the Christian. we have the door of safety and protection. Now, there were two kinds of sheepfolds. There was I shared this before, the village sheepfold and the rural sheepfold. In the village sheepfold, as I already described, there was a porter or a gatekeeper that watched over the sheep at night. But when the shepherds stayed out in the fields, they would construct a walled enclosure with one door. At night, the sheep would be gathered into the sheepfold, and the shepherd himself would lie down at the door. Can we have a picture up here? If we can have a picture. There's a sheepfold. They would build this walled enclosure. And the shepherd, there would be an opening. Let's have the next picture. The shepherd himself would lie down in the opening. And the shepherd literally became the door to the sheepfold. And that's Jesus. He is the door of safety and protection. It's like Satan saying, I want to come in. I want to come into that church. I want to come into that person's life. And I want to tear them apart. And Jesus says, over my dead body. No, 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 no. No, he doesn't say that. He says, over my resurrected body. Over my resurrected body, you're not in and tear my sheep apart. I'm going to protect them. I'll tell you, some of you have been, maybe you've been being attacked. Some of you have been being attacked. Aren't you glad for the safety we have in Christ? Thank you, Jesus. You're the door of safety and protection. Then lastly, Jesus is the door of salvation and personal relationship. He is the door of sanctification and provision. He is the door of safety and protection. Lastly, he is the door of supernatural abundant life. Supernatural. Look at verse 10 again. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that you might have life. And you might have it abundantly. Oh! In the Greek, there's two words for life. The first word I'd like to share with you is the word bios or bios. I think it's pronounced bios. It's the word that we get, our word, biology. Biology. It means physical life. It is the present state of existence. Physical life. And we do get our physical life, by the way, from God. But it's not the word that's used here. I came that you might have life. The word used here is Zoe. Zoe. Which means spiritual, eternal, supernatural life. That's why Jesus came, to give us that kind of life. I'll tell you, and here's another study for you. But take your concordance or get on your phone or whatever you do anymore. But and look up the word life in the Gospel of John. And this word, Zoe, is used up until this point 26 times. It begins in John 1:4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. In him was Zoe. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting Zoe, life. John 5:24, truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say to you, he who hears my voice and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. This is John 6. I am the bread of life. John 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Do you see this? This is the light that Jesus brings. He brings eternal life. He brings supernatural life. He brings spiritual life. Only way you can have eternal life is to come through the door and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. And then you what? You have eternal life. In fact, you can exist without receiving Jesus, but you can't live. Did you hear me? You can exist. You can have physical life, bios. You can't have Zoe. And I'll tell you, if you don't have Zoe, it is the greatest thing in the world. It's wonderful to have that life. To have that life. So I'm going to leave you with two final questions. The first one is this. How well do you know the voice of Jesus? How well do you know his voice? Listen, you know what he said? My sheep hear my voice. When's the last time you've heard his voice? Do you need to come today? And do you need to come and say, Jesus, I want to get closer to you. We're going to have some people up here to pray with you. I want to hear your voice, Lord. All these voices are coming at me. I don't even know if it's you or if it's me or if it's the world. Or I want to hear your voice. Would you come and just say, I want to get close to Jesus. I need to be closer. There's a second question. Have you entered in through the door of Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Young people, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He rose from the dead. And he said, if you believe in me, if you trust in me, if you receive me, you'll have life. He's the entry point. And I would say, if you're not sure, believe today. Don't go out that door without first of all going through the door of Jesus Christ. You don't know when you're going to leave this world. Come to the door. Come to Jesus today. He's the door of the sheep. You see, one door and only one. Yet its sides are two. Inside, outside, on which side are you? Would you bow your heads with me, please? As you bow your heads, I'm going to have the elders and maybe the elders' wives, if they can come. Would like some ladies to come and be available to pray with women. And if you can come and you see, listen, folks, inspiration without expression leads to depression and darkness. If you heard God speaking to you today, you need to put feet on that. You need to believe. You need to come and pray. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Men, lead your families. Women, come. Boys, girls, if you're not sure of your salvation, come. If you want to get closer to Jesus, why don't you come and pray? Lord, we just thank you that you are the door to the sheep. Oh, Lord, thank you for salvation and a personal relationship with you. Thank you for leading us out into pastures where we can feed and grow. Thank you for being that door to the sheepfold for protection and safety. Lord, I know that there are those that are feeling attacked, and Lord, let them come and resist the devil in prayer. And Lord, I thank you that you are the door to supernatural, abundant life. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, today we're going to come to the door. And Lord, you meet us. You'll meet us right there, for you are the door. Touch our hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.